region. It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour number three off and running. Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Baby. Hour one, No Wake Outfitters. The phone line. It's a caller and guest hotline. The Ruderman can. 800-998-1003. Pels fans, how you feeling? Pelicans get the win last night. Still in fifth. As they get into action this evening. Hornets at the Cavs. Celtics at the Hawks. Pistons at the Knicks. Nets at the Raptors. Wizards at the Bulls. Trailblazers at the Rockets. Keeping an eye on that and a lot more now. Houston 12.5 point favorites. They're only one game back of the Golden State Warriors in the 10th spot. The cheating Lakers got a win yesterday. Suns and the Spurs. Grizzlies at the Nuggets. Mavs and the Jazz. 76ers taking on the Kings tonight. NBA TV, Pels fans, you want to go see that. You'd love Philly to be able to hook you up as the 76ers did you a favor yesterday. They beat the Clippers 121-107. Can they do you one more favor? They do one more favor. And then you got the Pacers taking on the Clippers. Come on, Indiana. Last night, Pacers were in L.A. at Crypto.com Arena taking on the Lakers. In case you didn't know, they lost last night 150-145. That's right, 150-145. The Indiana Pacers shot 55% from the floor, 18 threes. That's normally a win. 145 points, that's good for a win. That's good for a win. If you look at it from that standpoint, right? So, from that perspective, but they only went to the free throw line 16 times. Knocked down 9. Your Los Angeles Lakers. 12 threes. They did shoot 56%, but they went to the free throw line 43 times. 43-16. They made 38. The Pacers made 9. 38-9. The Lakers got 38 free points at the charity stripe out of 150 in a 5-point game. LeBron, after the game, was asked about what is the team's identity.
Yeah, we know who we are. I mean, you know, we want to defend at a high level. Obviously, tonight, 145 is not a high level, but I mean, against the Pacers, it's challenging. They put you in so many different situations. But, offensively, we want to continue to share the ball. We want to continue to get high assist games, low turnover games, and just keep playing together. And I think if we do that, we'll be okay.
Yeah, there it is. So, I'm just, you know what? Let's get back to your New Orleans Pelicans. Pistons, that's what happened last night as they took the win, or yesterday afternoon. Either way, got to enjoy the matinee as the Pels do take care of business. As we like to say here in the state of Louisiana, here is your lead for the third straight hour.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, as I mentioned, Pelicans do get that win. You got to like what they do. A couple of reasons. Zion Williamson, 36 points for him. Overall, though, head coach will agree on this to stay in a win.
I like that we were really sound defensively. We forced him into some tough shots. You know, these games can be tough sometimes. Last game of a road trip. They have guys out, but I like the fact that our group, we did what we needed to do on their home floor and took care of business.
Zion, 36 points on the win.
We executed when we needed to. Whenever they went on runs, we countered it with a run right back.
Yeah, I like that. Short and sweet and to the point, and more importantly, did it. Hey, C.J. McCollum, another 5 threes made from beyond the arc as he had a solid game yesterday here as well. Zion on C.J. as of late.
Scoring. I think that's just naturally like who he is. But CJ's such a great teammate and a great leader that, you know, when the team asks him, when coaches ask him to facilitate, he'll do that. But I went to CJ like, hey, man, cut that out. I need you to score. So, he's been doing it.
Yeah, he has been, and he's been getting the job done. Trey, Herb, doing a solid job on the defensive end, solid job on the offensive side here as well.
It's a luxury, it's a blessing to have all of those guys that they have the size and the strength, the speed, the IQ to be able to guard multiple positions, and we work at it. And that's the entire component is all of those guys are blessed with talent, and we continue to work at it, watch it on film, and it's amazing to see that we can bring in wing after wing, and all of our guys are committed to defending and trying to get out in the open floor and play.
Herb Jones had 4 steals yesterday to go 7 points a block as well. Trey Murphy had 4 blocks to go with 8 points. Now, he was 0-for-9 from 3. No bueno. I'm assuming he's going to shoot a little bit better. You want to see some consistency from Trey. He was 1-of-12 from the floor, 0-for-9. Now, at least he did contribute with 4 blocks. He did have a steal, 2 assists, and 8 rebounds, so he is helping you. But he's going to be starting for this entire homestand for the Pelicans, barring something that we don't see right now, since the Pels said April 5th will be the 2-week reevaluation of Brandon Ingram's left bone contusion in his knee. So he's got to be more consistent. It's incredible. He can help you. He can dunk. He can pass. He can do all those things. But you've got to have more consistency from the floor from him from that aspect of it. That said, Zion loves the defense. And again, 4 blocks from 1, 4 steals from another.
It's great. You haven't heard? Oh, Herb's the word. Instead of check. Herb, I do not. It's natural. Herb, what he brings to this team, I don't think it'll show up on the stat sheet. It's same for Murph. Even when Murph isn't really having a great shooting night, that doesn't mean his defense is going to lack. And we have this great chemistry as a team where we play for each other.
By the way, Zion played the entire first quarter. Didn't have a great game against Miami. 4 points. 8 turnovers against Orlando, 5 against the Heat. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter. Willie Green said at that time, hey, the guys he was going with were working. They wound up beating the Heat. No complaints from Zion. Played the entire first quarter, though, so he was asked about it. What led to that?
He had it going tonight in the first quarter. He kind of got it going maybe like midway through. We wanted to let him go a little bit, and that's all it was. Yeah. Yep.
There it is. Easy enough. All right, so before we get to Jack, real quickly, it's the homestand. It's the mother of all homestands. 11 games remain. Pelicans in 5th place. 2 games above the Suns. You're going to face them twice in the next couple of weeks here. Once at home, a week from today. The Phoenix Suns are in town. Got to get it. And then a couple games after, the following week, you're at Phoenix. You have to split them. That said, this homestand, Willie Green was asked, what's the goal here?
First is to get back home, get a little rest, and then get ready to go. We want to take care of home court. That's the biggest thing for us is focus on one game at a time, focus on one opponent, and let's try to attack it from that perspective.
As for Zion?
I feel great, and I'm having fun. And in terms of stacking my days, it's just doing all the little things, recovery, extra recovery, conditioning and extra conditioning, and then when we're in practice, just bringing a high intensity so that my body can be used to that.
All right, and one final thing, and we'll get to Jack here, possible home court. That's obviously what everyone wants. Thanks to the Clippers losing yesterday. Thank you, Philly. The Pelicans are half game back. If the Indiana Pacers can play angry, get to the free throw line a little bit more than 16 times tonight, hand the Clippers another loss, Pelicans would be in 4th. How important is home court?
If we can get it, you know, that'd be great. It'd be great for the city and, you know, great for the team. But, you know, you got to play the cards dealt to you. So wherever we land in the standings, we're going to make the most of it.
There it is. Jack, thank you for giving us a call here. How do your brackets look, sir?
They're still garbage, and they're getting worse. But look, Gus, mm-hmm. I just had a couple of things. Okay, I found what Gerard Mayo said just now really interesting. I think the first round could be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Because I agree with what Greenberg said. I think a lot of quarterbacks get ruined going to bad teams, which kind of ties into what Deion said. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't want his son to end up in a bad situation where it just ruins any chance for development. But I mean, New England's roster is really, really bad. I mean, it's probably worse than what Sean left here. But I don't think there's any doubt it is worse than what Sean left here. And so he's right. If somebody offered them a bag, I think they really got to consider that. And then that might trigger a whole bunch of other trades.
That's the key, man. In that first six, how many quarterbacks are actually going to go? Like, is a team legitimately going to take J.J. McCarthy in the top five, top six? Like, if that happens, right? And then who does Bo Nix get taken in the 12th? Or does Sean Payton and then wait for 12? Is that where they even have him? You know? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, isn't it?
It would seem like it would be a reach for that, you know? And, I have to agree. I forgot to give Ralph credit last week. When Ralph was on with you, he was saying that the, you know, when it came out about the defensive end that they signed, when it came out about the injury, he said the Saints were kind of like going to the big lots, buying the open boxes. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good.
that's basically about it, yeah.
And he also said that he'd love to see the Saints trade down. I hope they get that opportunity too. I think you know they need more help. I think it would work out that way. And gosh, the last thing I had was, did you notice over the weekend that the Chiefs traded who a lot of people consider to be the best cornerback in football for a third round pick?
Yeah.
And they did that because people knew they had to get rid of him,
yep.
And they couldn't afford to pay him.
Yep.
See, that's how you live within your means while going for a three-peat. That's living within your means. What Mickey does, not so much.
Well, I got something else for you. You ready? You ready?
The New Orleans Saints select.
I need to get the little jingle in there. I thought I had one in there. I play that. I don't know if you saw this, and I meant to ask Raphael, and I just forgot. Bet Online has... has put out the
7.5. That's what I'll guess.
There it is. Saints 7.5. They have the Chiefs at 11.5. The Niners 11.5. Ravens 11.5. Lions, Bengals, Bills, Eagles, Falcons at 10.5. Packers, Dolphins, Roy, Cowboys 10. Texans, Jets 9.5. The Bears 8.5. They got the Bears with more wins than the Saints. The Browns, Rams, Chargers, Colts, Jags, Bucks, 8.5. Steelers, 8. Joining the Saints at 7.5. Seahawks, Saints, Commanders, 6.5. The Vikings, Raiders, Cardinals, Giants. They got the Broncos at 5.5 to go with the Titans. And the Patriots and Panthers, 4.5, battling for, you know, the seller.
Gus. I don't agree with you. You guessed from Tampa Bay. I'm sorry, I can't remember that.
Leo.
I don't agree with him at all. I don't agree with him at all. The Bears aren't that bad. They've already improved this roster, and they're going to have two picks in the top eight. I think they only get better, but I guess we'll see.
Roy has chimed in, your favorite friend. 4-13 for the Saints, 13-4 for the Dolphins. There you go.
Yeah, just don't make any bets with him.
No bets. No bets with Roy, that is for sure. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be over at Francesco on Thursday. Looking forward to it here as well. When we come back, Marlon Favorite joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard. Your one-stop fly shop, kayak, and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Said he doesn't agree with that. We're trying to ban it. It was unanimous by the owners. The NFLPA was against it, so they did not want this to happen. How do you feel about it? Because many are saying it's on our way to flag football, and you're actually hurting the defenders to try to make a play.
I really don't get this one. This is the first step to flag football. It is, because ever since I learned how to tackle, you have to wrap up near the hip, put your chin to the sky, and bring the defender down. I know you just had my folks on from the NOLA Go rugby team. I mean, this is essentially how they tackle. This is what they do. This is an example of how they tackle, because it's a safer tackle. I don't get it. I know in our sport, they always try to protect the guys on offense, particularly their quarterback. It probably stems from that, but it's going to make it so harder to make tackles now. This rule just doesn't make any sense, Justin.
All right, so the league is saying, essentially, you're going to need to prove three elements, right, for this to happen. Like swinging your weight in your body and bringing it down, wrapping him up. There's three different elements. This happens so fast, Marlon. I understand what you're seeing. There's some that you do see where, like when a couple of these tight ends got injured, and you see that. Geno Smith got injured last year. Jameis Winston's part of this highlight package that the NFL showed. We have seen how either knees or hips or ankles, but mainly knees and stuff, happen. And you can get some fractures and stuff. So, is there a way to do that tackle without using weight? Or is that what you're saying, is that it's almost impossible to try to do that in the act of a tackle?
Put it to you like this. Think of, let's stay here in New Orleans. Let's think of Alvin Kamara. You know how hard it's going to be now to tackle Alvin Kamara, because now you have to have a plan in tackling him so you don't get a penalty. So now you got to try to grab him somewhere around his chest or somewhere around his ankles. Because from what I'm hearing, if I'm hearing this rule correct, and I thought J.J. Watt was talking about this, he was lost. And this guy's going to get a gold jacket. So what I'm saying is, I'm assuming you're running towards the guy, you make that mid-waist, mid-body tackle, and it's the locking up at the hips and slinging him down that they have to take away from the game?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm asking, even for our folks listening, like, how is this going to physically happen? Like, the highlights from the shake dust are going to be, I mean, NFL means Ghetto Gronk is about to have fun with this on Instagram, because these guys are going to be taking.
What I was thinking about, I saw somebody post, right? So let's go through the checklist, Marlon, of what it's like to be an NFL defensive player. You, as a D-lineman, let's just start with the quarterback. If I land at your feet, it's a flag. If I hit right below the waist, is it still a flag? Some don't know. If it's anywhere within the shoulder area and somebody drew a circle that looked like the size of Big Bird's head, you can be called for roughing the passer. If you go to bat a ball and you miss, but your hands hit the face mask, it's roughing the passer. Like, this checklist is pretty incredible, actually, that I saw when you went through it. And then if you had just, like, in the open field, if it's low, right, that's a flag, right, isn't it? I'm sorry, high, it's a flag. So if it's low, it's taking people's knees out and stuff, and people are saying you need to change that. If it's even not helmet to helmet, but shoulder to helmet, that's still roughing, right? So I get it, because now they're saying, now I can't even wrap your waist. So how do I tackle?
Okay, so I think the best way we can describe this, right, Shout out to Play NOLA because they were way ahead of us. The Flag Football League here in New Orleans. We're going to have to take the waistband, you know, the white waistband type and type, put some flags on the end of it.
Okay.
And we just got to really start pulling flags. That's the only way.
Well, I mean, you went there. I was going to go with at least two-hand hard touch. I mean, can I shove you? Honestly, if I shove you and you just threw the ball as a quarterback, that is still roughing the passer. So I can't shove you either.
I understand the NFL wanting to make this big push to make the game more exciting, make the offensive players do a more exceptional job. I get all of that. But, Gus, for the former defensive player, I don't know how I'm supposed to tackle. I really don't know how these folks plan on making plays.
I got something else for you. You ready for this? I got something else for you. Did you hear what Deion Sanders said about his two sons? Essentially, over the weekend on a podcast, saying that next year when they go into the draft, there's already 4 or 5 teams. He won't allow them to play with. They're not going to play for them. They're going to pull in Eli Manning was the exact quote. I want you to hear, because they talked about that, obviously, nationally. Robert Griffin III, RG3, this morning on Get Up, had this to say on this. And I thought it was interesting because when you look at it, are we going to come to this era?
Yeah, I mean, the power shift is coming, so everyone needs to buckle up. All these college coaches have been running to the NFL because they're upset that the college players have a little bit more power and a little bit more say. Well, guess what? Those same kids that they're running away from are the ones that are going to be coming up the ranks and coming into the NFL in the next few years. So Deion saying that either Shadur or Travis Hunter should pull are going to pull an Eli doesn't surprise me at all. Look at what's happened this year. Caleb Williams goes to the combine, doesn't do anything except for meetings, doesn't even let the medical teams go out there and look at him because he says they don't need to. Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't do his pro day, doesn't do the combine, doesn't run a 40 because they don't need to. In today's age with the athletes and their mindset, they are empowered. They know that they can control their own narratives. They know that they can be a part of the media while they're still playing. So if the players that are coming up are saying these things and feel this type of way, you're going to see more of them pull an Eli and say, I understand that playing in the NFL is a privilege, but that privilege is earned through my pay. Or through my play. And the players right now understand that they don't have to do the status quo. And they don't have to sit here and answer to whatever they're told to do anymore. Because without the players, all of these sports leagues are nothing. This is the player empowerment age. And you're seeing it come into the NFL.
Marlon, that's a lot in there. Do you think we will ever get to the point? Or do you think it's very player specific? You know what I'm getting at? Like, people may hear that and get very reactionary, be like, oh, here we go. I don't know how many players will have the power of Eli Manning, a Caleb Williams, or the Sanders and Hunter if they go 1 and 2 in the draft. I don't know. What do you make of what RG3 made, what he said, and what do you make of what Deion said?
Well, I'll start with Deion. Deion knows that he's NFL royalty, just like Arch Manning was back when he pulled that off with Eli. That's not happening for the average kid out the hood trying to get in the NFL. They're not even going to take that financial risk, right? Coming from wealth, Eli Manning, he was able to flex like that, correct? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing you want to pay attention to. The second thing you want to look at is the amount of leverage that these players have now. I mean, Caleb Williams is coming out of college a $10 million baby. Right, so I think now what we're dealing with, when you have guys like Travis Hunter, who is going into next season as a top NIL earner, Shadur Sanders, so on and so forth. These guys have so much leverage. To RG's point, going in, they can say, "Oh, I'm not doing the medical. I don't feel like running the 40." Like, this used to be detrimental to guys like us. Like, I know for a fact the fact that I could not physically perform at the combine, I couldn't do nothing but lift and interview. That hurt me because that was an opportunity for them to see how fast my 40 is right there in Indianapolis. For me to go through those drills, I'm almost willing to guarantee had I could have did that before my pro day, not my pro day, I did everything, but had I could have did that before on that stage, it would have helped my draft stock. Now, obsolete. You don't, I mean, it's just, you're top, if you're a projected top 15, you got options. You can say, oh, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, because these guys are already coming in with so much leverage with the NIL deals.
Yeah. Like I said, you hear that, you look, and I get what he's trying to do, and look, he's done a very good job the last couple of years, get a lot of media attention, things of that nature. It does probably put a little bit more pressure on he and the kids, too. They got to perform. There's going to be a lot of eyes now paying attention to that, and I guess people hear that and look at it. I'm with you. I think it's going to be specific. Like, you're not, maybe Caleb. Who else is doing that this year? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know if that's the case. And I hear the other counter argument to it too, where I heard nationally a guy on the morning show, and I'm trying to think who it was. It was a player, but he was saying, "Look, I want to know." He brought up C.J. Stroud, and I keep bringing up the Texans. You couldn't have gone to a quote unquote worse situation organization that hadn't done anything, right? I mean, you are hoping that the new head coach can work out. You're hoping the offensive coordinator knew what he was doing. But that was a first-time staff that showed up in Houston. And you would have had from the Deshaun Watson stuff to the owner stuff. I mean, it was a disaster, right, of thing. But that quarterback showed up and said, let's go. I'm going to make the Texans the Texans and who we are. And I think that's what would be my counter on that. There is no perfect situation, Marlon. And to sit there in pro sports and say, hey, I want to go there because I can. Hey, what if an injury happens to some of those players you want to play with? What if that coach or that general manager or that front office executive that you think is doing it right gets an offer to go somewhere else? You know, I mean, there's a lot of variables that can change what looks like a good situation right now and go somewhere else. Like, I can be like, I want to be a Laker. I want to be a Knick. Awesome. What if LeBron leaves? Is it the same? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of things that can move and can change. Executives, GMs, scouting departments, you name it. So I just think, especially when it comes to the NFL, it's so hard to say, hey, this team, this organization's good now. But will they be better? Like he mentioned, Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, your guys. I got Skip Bayless this morning saying that Shador Sanders is better than Dak Prescott today. They haven't won anything. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, is that really a better situation than the Bears and other teams? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing with Caleb. And you notice how he kind of is trying to avoid the Bears because he want to pick where he want to go. I mean, you couldn't think of a better situation. And the Cowboys thing, well, Skip just say anything.
I mean, I like to pick on you on that, but come on, man. You can't tell me Shador right. Sanders is better than Dak Prescott right now. Come on. I mean, you can't.
Man, I know, man, Draymond Green needs to come on and play DN. Now he's grabbing with the head coach. What's going on,
Doug? That's exactly right. Well, you know how that works. Marlon, promote it, bud. What's happening tonight, 6 to 8?
6 to 8 p.m., man. Y'all make y'all way to UPC Sports Social, ESPN New Orleans. We live on the Inside the Trenches podcast, or y'all can listen right here. Gus, thanks for having me on, brother. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Talk to you tonight. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
I'm doing pretty well, Gus. Looking at my brackets, I still got 3 of the 4 four left.
Do you really?
Yeah. I got Kentucky out of one of them, and I got Kansas out of another one. But I'm sitting here with Houston, Tennessee, UConn. You know, and I'll tell you what, sometimes a blind squirrel finds an acorn, right?
I hear you. What was the biggest surprise to you? Is it that there's no Cinderellas left? Is it that some of those top seeds have made it? No real buzzer beaters? I mean, well, there was, I guess you can call it a buzzer beater with Texas A&M hitting that 3 to send the game into overtime. But for the most part, we've had a close game or two, but I don't know. I don't feel the heart-pounding drama. It's kind of missing us here.
Yeah, you know, we don't have the San Diego State. We don't have the Florida Atlantic still hanging around. It's pretty, but I'll tell you what, Gus, there's some really good teams still in this. It's going to be a dogfight at the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, just to get to, you know, Arizona to play in that Final Four. It's going to be tough, but how about Yale beating Auburn? I mean, yeah. That was like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And Oakland, you know, they beat in Kentucky. And the problem is those teams have to have five or six great shooting games. That's hard to do. And we saw what happened with Oakland. You know, they just I thought it was a bad call. I thought the ball went off NC State there at the end before it went to overtime.
Yeah.
But, other than that, man, Purdue is on a mission. And, Gus, I'll tell you what. If Purdue wins this thing, I'm going to be patting myself on the back because I can't believe people didn't do the math on this. There are two number ones that lost to a 16. One was Virginia. What happened? They won it the next year. One was Purdue last year. That's why I'm picking them to win. I mean, Zach Edey gets fouled every time he touches the ball. It's just a matter of how many times the referee's going to blow the whistle.
Mm. Makes sense when you look at it. What do you think? I mean, obviously by Friday we'll have all of the games on Thursday. So if you want, we can kind of take a look at the games that are going to be coming up on Thursday here and kind of give you some previews here. I guess we'll start with, 28. That will be UConn and San Diego State. Do you think the Huskies can get past San Diego State?
How about that for a repeat of the final last year? I'll tell you what, Gus, and I preach this to people who listen. San Diego State defends like they're defending the Alamo. It's like, poor Yale, they didn't know what hit them last night. You know, I think they had like 16 points at half. This game is probably going to be in the 60s, which mm-hmm. is San Diego State's, you know, modus operandi. But Connecticut can play. So I tell you what, if this goes to halftime and it's close, look out. Because San Diego State finds a way to win. But I tell you what, Connecticut, healthy, they're going to be hard to beat.
All right, so it sounds like you're going UConn. Illinois and Iowa State. It's a 2-3 matchup. This is going to be a 9 o'clock game.
Iowa State's playing the best of anybody going into this tournament, and they just, at both ends of the floor, offense mm-hmm. and defense, the Cyclones are just, they're tough because they don't depend on one thing. It's not like, okay, they got to hold you to 60. They can score 80 or 90, and they can defend you in the 50s and 60s. So, okay. Yeah. It's going to be tough. I think I like Iowa State there.
Alabama and North Carolina, 8:39 on Thursday, a 1-4 seed. The Tar Heels are 1.
Yeah, the worst thing that happened to anybody playing North Carolina is they got beat by NC State in the semis. And boy, Coach David, he just reestablished the fact that, guys, it's one and done. We need to survive in advance. But to do that, we gotta defend. And that's what they did. They didn't defend against NC State. Boy, they're defending now, for sure. So, yeah, I like North Carolina.
Okay. And Clemson in Arizona. Clemson 6 seed, Arizona a 2 seed, 6:09 on Thursday.
This is real tough because my son and my money went to Clemson.
Oh, okay.
This is a tough one. Clemson is the most up-and-down team in this tournament. If they're playing well, they can beat anybody. If they're not playing well, they can't beat anybody. So this is going to be an interesting matchup. I'll tell you what, Arizona is just too big, too long, and they got a situation where they got knocked out of the Pac-12 tournament. Same thing. Now Coach Lloyd, he's able to refocus his team, say, hey, one and done. I like Arizona.
All right. I'll get to the Friday ones here in a little bit when we get to Friday, sir. Two big things happening in the NFL that took place. I can't wait to get your opinion on the hip drop tackle. We just talked to Marlon Favright, played defensive tackle for LSU, NFL. He's like, you're making it really hard to tackle in the NFL. What do you make of it? It seems like, oh, well, the NFLPA was against it. The players are against it. There's a lot of people coming out and saying, well, would you like defenders to do? What do you make of the unanimous decision to ban the hip drop tackle?
Gus, obviously, no one on that committee has ever played a down of NFL football. Because when they pass this, every offensive player who can catch the ball or run the ball just said, oh, expletive deleted. Because what's happening now, Gus, you can't hit him in the head. You can't drag him down by the body. What's left? Watch what happens to knee injuries. They're going to be dropping like flies because that's the only place they can hit him now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible because, again, you ask a receiver, you ask a running back, would you rather be hit in the head or in the leg? They'll tell you in the head. Yeah, we'll take the chance of later on, but you hit me in the knees, my career could be over. So, yeah, this is I didn't understand why somebody didn't talk to players about this because this is something that, yeah, how are you supposed to tackle the guy?
Mm-hmm.
I think with the quarterback, you got like a six-inch area where you can hit him between the you-know-what and the belly button. That's it. Otherwise than that, you're going to get roughing call.
I went through the list a little bit with Marlon, too, man, because to your point, you can't really go high anymore. I mean, even if it looks like an illegal hit, that flag comes out. So you have seen people go low, and a lot of the offensive players, to your point, have said, you're killing our knees. You're ending careers and doing things of that nature. So I don't know. Am I wrapping around your chest? I just don't know. How am I coming to tackle you if I'm chasing you down, Leo?
Gus, I have no idea. Because look, let's just look at the college game real quick. With the spread offense, all they're doing is spreading people out and making defenders make one-on-one tackles. Because if they miss, it's a splash play. And it may go all the way to the end zone. So now you're telling a defender, okay, you can't hit a guy above the shoulders. You can't grab a guy and actually take him down with your body weight. What do you else you want me to do? And the only thing left is to hit on the legs. And I got a feeling, Gus, this is going to be a one-year deal, and they're just going to say, hey, no, we're going to deal with the hip toss tackle because the other options, you know, it's like the lesser of two evils.
Right.
What is the lesser of two evils?
What do you like about I understand there's a lot of, oh, you just added more time, more stoppage, but what do you think of the replay assistant on the field going to be able to, on roughing the passer and intentional grounding calls, be able to fix it if it's wrong?
Well, thank God, because, the fact that you can do everything there, but you can't fix a bad call. And again, we're seeing this with the daggone NCAA March Madness tournament. I mean, there's things that are, and all of a sudden there's a bad call, there's a missed foul, like the Stanford-Kansas game. Wasn't a foul. The fact that you can't fix it. Here you can fix it. Now, again, it's going to take time. But the fact is, it shouldn't take that long. Because all you're looking at is, okay, intentional grounding. Was there a receiver in the area? And roughing the passer. Was the guy falling down? Did he hit him because he was falling down? Or did he take him to the ground with body weight? So, yeah, it's going to kick on maybe 3 or 4 minutes of a game. But you know what? Let's go with it.
Yeah. Marlon and Leo in hour number two. So much info that I can keep doing this for a little bit, man, but I look at the clock. It's 2:45 already. All right, you gave us your Thursday picks. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Get your Friday picks. And who knows by then what else the owners will pass here as well. I know they're looking at it and they're going to be voting, I think, this week. I don't think it's today. Maybe tomorrow. The kickoff rule. Do you need changes on any of that? Do you want to see the kickoff be anything different?
Yeah, I do, Gus, and I like what the USFL did. If you kick it in the end zone, the ball comes out to the 35. You move it up, you kick it from the 50, you keep it in play, and now all of a sudden, the kickoff return can play anymore. Now it's just saying, hey, I've seen that guy surrender on that back line. It's kind of ridiculous.
Sounds good. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy. I'll talk to you good Friday.
Yep, for sure. We'll talk then. It is Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know what? This might just be my opinion. We've reached funny season. I can't wait to get more games today. Now, you know he thinks Drake May's better than Jaden Daniels. I've been on the Jaden Daniels thing for 2 years saying this guy's an NFL quarterback first rounder. So much so, I am owed a steak dinner. Since 4K back at Bienvenue, Chef Scotty, if you're listening, did say in a remote that he is not a first-round talent. I think he's going to go number two until this just played on the NFL Draft Network.
Really interesting because everybody's always trying to figure out, especially at the top of the draft, what the other teams are doing. When I've had conversations here with executives for other teams who know Adam Peters well, know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is J.J. McCarthy. So a lot of drama still to come.
Just like Mac Jones. Just like Mac Jones the last time Adam Peters had this situation.
Really? Stop it. I mean, again, I know the kid won. I know they won a national championship. I'm just asking your eyeballs. Do your eyeballs tight? That's okay. Go look at Dan Orlovsky put a video out today. And because this was the thing that I would always get with John. I'm like, first off, how many LSU games did you actually watch? Because at first, for a while, it was, we can't throw. That's not accurate. He's pretty accurate. He can't throw the deep ball. Actually, he was the best in the country at throwing the deep ball with accuracy. Ball placement. It's magnificent. Actually, go watch. Then you add the element of his legs. If I was just talking about Jaden Daniels as a passer, the ability to read defenses and how they used him at LSU, and I look at Michigan, I'm still leaning Jaden. It's not even a question who's the more athletic and leg-wise. That is where the NFL is going, period. You better have that. Look, again, and I know there's some Saints fans out there that give me the Jake Haener experience. I hear you. When we watched him last year, I'm not talking about whether or not he can make the reads or the throws and some of those things. You can see him in practice. He's very quick study, knows the offense. I get that. At the end of the day, 6'4 is different than 6'1. Arm strength is different than not arm strength. Ability to run away from a defender is different than the ability to run away from a defender. If you're going to play flag football, if you've ever played flag football, you better be able to move. Move around the pocket, get away, extend plays. I'm not asking Jaden Daniels to be Lamar Jackson. Not saying that. But what is it that everyone says about Lamar Jackson? Oh, like 4K. Oh, he can run. He can throw. Okay, Jaden can throw. And he can run. And he can move. And that is not JJ. I mean, that's me. You know, and I know it just depends with which quarterback guru analyst you look at. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear it. Depending on who they feel projects that way. But there are some that say Drake May is the best athlete and arm talent in the draft. Some say it's Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams is LeBron. I mean, that's literally what everyone kind of says, right? It's LeBron. I don't know. It's just interesting to me because I don't see it. That's just, I just look at games, steady, heady, smart. I get that. He's going to need pieces and do those things. C.J. Stroud, groomed perfectly. I thought they did exactly what they needed to do with him and helping him slowly get to the point where we saw him in the postseason. That was a different C.J. Stroud than when he beat the Saints. He was making plays, and especially late in that game, and that one drive where he overcame like a first and 30-something. I mean, like, that to me was wow. Okay, now he's starting to get it, and his play alone, his ability alone help you win. I said this last Thursday to 4K, and when you want to bring me McCarthy, you want to bring me all these other guys, how many wins legitimately And I'm not an LSU hater. I'm just telling you. I'm asking you. I'd ask Matt. How many wins does LSU have if they don't have Jayden Daniels the last 2 years? I'm just saying. And I know Chef Scotty loves him some Garrett Nussmeier. He wanted Nussmeier to start this year and Jayden to go on his way. I hear you. Dude, they're not even the same. They're not. So, we'll see. We'll see how that works. But that guy literally led you in rushing, passing. That translates. Speed translates. Intelligence translates. The kid can read defenses. Ball placement translates. Arm strength translates. Leadership translates. Not being a clown translates. All those things translate. You don't take them at two. Shame on you, Commanders. Anyway, my time is done. Matt Muscoden, after further review, is up next. We'll see you tomorrow on Tuesday. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.